Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks and praise to you for your word that brings us the knowledge of you and your mercy in Jesus Christ. As we hear your word now, we pray for your Holy Spirit to strengthen us in faith by leading us first to acknowledge our own mistrusts and sins before you, that we might receive that forgiveness which alone comes to us through your Son Jesus, which does assure us of life with you forever, and which leads us in the way of everlasting life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. She was behind schedule, and it was getting to her. Her plans of serving a special meal for her esteemed friend took their first off-course turn when they were kept longer than expected at worship. By the time they got home, she knew it was going to be a stretch to prepare the menu she had planned. Then came the stinging defection of her sister. She had counted on her to help in the kitchen, but she never returned after giving their guest a bowl of water and a towel to wash with. She would just have to make lunch herself. So she tried, but the harder she tried, the more irritated she became with her sister. "What is she doing out there?" she muttered. She left her mixing bowl at the table and looked around the doorway. There she was, her lazy sister, her irresponsible sister, sitting with their friend and listening to him speak. Suddenly, she found herself more upset at him than she was at her sister. She walked out of the kitchen and said to her guest, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." Can you remember what Jesus said? He told Martha that she was so anxious and troubled by her work that she was missing out on something better, time with Jesus and his teaching. In today's gospel reading, we heard Jesus ask Martha's fretful question too, though in a much different setting. It was nighttime, and the disciples were together with their Lord in a boat sailing on the Sea of Galilee. It was a bad night for sailing. Not long after they set out, the wind rose, bringing waves with it. At least four of the disciples were skilled sailors. Peter and Andrew, James and John were all experienced fishermen. They knew this water and its weather, and they knew that this was bad. Waves crashed over the sides of the boat, and the disciples began bailing. But they couldn't bail fast enough. Then one of them realized that Jesus was not with them, not bailing anyway. They found him in the stern of the boat, and he was sleeping. How could he do that? Beside themselves, they woke him and cried, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Do you not care, Jesus? Have you ever asked Jesus that question? "Jesus, do you not care about me?" After your spouse walked out on you, you just lost a job, the nagging pain in your chest turned out not to be heart disease, but lung cancer, a stock market crash decimated your retirement savings, or a car accident left your body crippled and racked with constant pain. In times of suffering, with our minds so overwhelmed by pain, the phrase, "Jesus loves me," may seem to have nothing to do with the world we find ourselves living in. Why, Lord? Don't you care? What answer does our Lord give to these questions? In the storm on the boat, Jesus stood and rebuked the wild wind and waves. "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he gently rebuked his disciples. "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Faith? Clearly no. No, we don't have much faith in the midst of life's storms. What does faith even look like, Lord? How does it act? Surely you don't expect us to rebuke the wind and waves like you. And Jesus might answer, "No, of course not. For you are men and women, not God. But what did you see as I rebuked the wind and the waves? Who alone can do such things?" Who indeed? Some months before the storm on the sea, the disciples had been in Capernaum on the northern coast of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had been preaching, healing the sick and freeing the demonized, and everyone wanted to see and hear him. They were with him in a house full of people. Jesus' teaching was interrupted by the partial collapse of the roof above them. Down from the hole, some men lowered another man on a stretcher. He was completely paralyzed. Jesus smiled at him and said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Someone in the house gasped. No one spoke, but Jesus arrested a group of scribes as if they had just questioned Jesus' authority to declare this man's sins forgiven. He said, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." Then all gasped to see the man move his arms and legs, lift himself up from the ground, and pick him up his mat and walk through that crowded house, healed and forgiven. Who can speak to creation in chaos and it obeys? Who can forgive sins? Then who is Jesus? Faith in us does not work any miracle of its own, but it looks to Jesus and asks, waits, hopes, rests, and gives praise and thanks because Jesus is Lord. He is our Lord, and nothing can snatch us from his hand. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in him. No, not any of life's storms, not our sins, not even death. Jesus is God, our Maker. He is the word by which the Father brought us and all of creation into being. He spoke and it came to be. Because of him we are. In this fallen world, we may fall into temptation and troubles of many kinds, but nothing that befalls us, no storm, has strength greater than our Lord. All of creation must obey his command, even those dark creatures who somehow turned against him and vainly oppose him. It was a Sabbath day in Capernaum, and Jesus was with his disciples in the synagogue for worship. Jesus was teaching when a man from the congregation, possessed by an unclean spirit, cried out, interrupting him, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked and silenced the demon, the creature subdued by its creator. Jesus is also our God and Redeemer. Our unbelief, our greed, our selfish and impure desires, and all our sins of thought, word, and deed do separate us from God. Though we are his creatures, we do not know or trust in our Creator as we ought. Were we to see God and stand before him right this moment, we would shake with the same kind of fear and incomprehension that gripped the disciples after Jesus calmed the sea storm. For sin blinds us to God's goodness. It fills us with anxiety and fear. It condemns us and convinces us to run away from God, unaware that his arms reach out to receive us. But Jesus is God, come to us to rescue us from sin's death grip. Only God could overpower such a force. Only Jesus, the Son of God, united in person with human nature, could lead us from the valley of the shadow of death to live before God at peace forever. But for this redeeming work, Jesus did not raise his voice to crush sin with a mighty rebuke. Rather, Jesus let himself be accused, condemned, and treated as a sinner by his enemies. He let himself suffer and die as we deserve to suffer and die. Jesus took the cup filled with all the poison of sin and death, and he drank it all. He became sin and death for us, and so he died and was buried. For 3 days, Jesus rested in a tomb as peacefully as he had rested on the pillow in the storm-struck boat. Then he awoke, not to the voice of frantic, fearful disciples, but to the ever-living voice of God his Father declaring, "You are my Son. Today I have begotten you." Jesus rose, the firstborn from the dead, and because he lives free from sin and death, so shall we. Jesus is God, our Redeemer. He has redeemed us, purchased us. Sin and death own us no more. For through Christ we are God's possession, his beloved children, forgiven and reborn to live with him forevermore. While we live in this fallen world, the storms will come. They will be fierce, but none can rage beyond bounds set by our Lord. They will tempt us to anxiously act as if our Savior needs our help to make our rescue sure. "Lord, do you not care?" But he has tasted death for us and lives forevermore. There is no salvation greater or surer than the one we have from our risen Redeemer, for he calms our storm-tossed hearts with his living and ruling word, "Peace be with you." Yes, Jesus loves me. In him I trust. Amen. May this peace won for us by Jesus rule our hearts and minds. In Christ's name, amen.